This week's episode of the Financial Safari is brought to you by John Kelly and Kelly Financial Services for all your financial and retirement needs.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither Peter J. Deruta or his guests are liable for the usage of information discussed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.
Have you ever thought about retirement, or are you already in retirement? On today's show, we're going to talk about some of the fundamental concepts to safely generate income and get you on the right road to a healthy retirement. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Coach Pete, and if you've got questions on how to properly structure your assets and build retirement income, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Financial Safari.
All right, so we live in a society which is often more spend happy than save happy. I'm going to admit to you here, John, I'm sitting here with, very blessed to have it, but newest model of the phone. I got a nice new TV last Christmas at home. This isn't necessarily a positive thing, though. You know what I mean? I mean, all my friends might be like, oh, look at the new phone. But a lot of folks out there may be missing out on something, and that is an emergency fund if they are getting a lot of these types of things before getting into something like that. I don't know a lot about emergency funds. You're most certainly the expert here. I do know, though, they're typically a savings account. So if that's the case, why is there so much attention drawn to them?
Well, because a lot of Americans, honestly, really, Thomas, don't even have an emergency fund.
Wow, really? Wow.
A lot of people out there are living paycheck to paycheck, especially in the younger years. You know, obviously, you're saving. You know, you have the dual incomes. You know, might be raising kids.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So I think it's important, and then sit down with a plan, is pay yourself first. I mean, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, put a few dollars aside and into a little savings account, and then pay your bills and do your discretionary spending afterwards.
Okay.
And unfortunately today, especially the younger generation, they have absolutely zero concept of this.
You know, it's very true. I'm in my mid-30s now, and, you know, I've been very lucky to have folks like you surround me, and I get to hear advice, you know, every week on the radio, just like our listeners do. So I know some of these concepts, but it's very, very true. A lot of my friends aren't familiar, aren't aware of them.
So yeah, a lot of the younger generation, like I said, they're not saving for retirement. I mean, they're starting later in life. You know, obviously the baby boomers, you know, the people are going to be retiring right now, currently, over the next 12, 15 years. They've been a good generation of savers, but they still were not as good as their parents. The previous generation was probably the greatest. The people went through the Depression is probably the greatest savers on the planet. You know, it seems like the next generation are not saving as much.
So let me ask you this then, John. You know, if that's the case, obviously we need to light a fire, I guess. So what are some reasons that folks need to have an emergency fund? Maybe there's someone out there saying, you know, listen, I make enough every month. I don't need to worry about it. I'll just put it on a credit card if I need to. What are the practical reasons, I guess, for having one?
Well, like I said, if your furnace breaks down, something large that happens, and a lot of times you can't finance things like that. You know, you might have, like I said, your car break down or an engine go in the car. Yep. Your hot water heater or the furnace goes. It could be a medical emergency, you know, where you have to come up with some cash for things you weren't planning on.
Yeah.
You know, just a lot of people just don't have these emergency funds, because today we're in the now generation. They want everything now. They want the latest smartphones, the latest iPads, you know.
That's true.
I this, I that, I everything, whatever is going on. They're really not, they want the money now. They want, you know, spend it on this, like I said, the iPhones. You know, you see today, I was out with my boys there the other day, and I said, I have seven of them myself, and a few younger guys are sitting around there. Dad, can I get a phone? Dad, can I get a phone? I said, no. When you're old enough to get a little side job here, then you maybe we'll talk about it.
But there you go, right?
We're looking across the table, and we're sitting over there, and all these kids are sitting there on their fancy iPhones. You know, they're mostly about $2,000 worth of iPhones at the one table, and they're all playing games on them.
Using them like a Game Boy.
Exactly. So, and then they wonder why they don't have emergency funds.
There you go.
AT&T or Verizon.
So let me ask you this then. If someone's planning, so they're like, okay, listen, I understand. I like your example with the car, because I actually just dipped into my emergency fund to help replace an alternator and some battery issues that I was having. But very important to have it. You had mentioned medical issues, very important there as well. Let me ask you this though. How much should someone have in their emergency fund? Because I'm assuming this is going to be a number that is highly variable, I guess, depending on a person's position in life.
Well, yeah, I'd say generally, you know, you try to get at least 1 month's salary, I'd say at a minimum.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, think about it. Today, $50 doesn't go anywhere.
No, it doesn't.
You know, or $100. Like years ago, if you were, we're growing up in school, if you had $100, you were a millionaire in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Today, $1,000 doesn't go anywhere. I mean, these cars are so fancy today. I mean, a lot of kids can't fix cars like they're used to. Our previous generations, you know, you'd see all the our teenage years. I remember my buddies in high school, they'd have cars up in the driveway, you know, they'd be pulling it apart and stuff like that. Today, these cars are all computerized and all this other stuff, and you really can't do that anymore.
It's true.
You know, so unless you're going in that direction. But I would say at least 1 month to like even 2 months is a good gauge to have for an emergency fund.
Okay.
Like I said, for me, like household repairs, you know, again, it all depends on your situation in life and where you're at.
Right.
I mean, obviously, if you have a house, you know, you're going to have more emergencies come up than people who don't have a house. You know, or if you're younger and you're in college, you know, you might need to buy a new book or a new laptop or something gets stolen. I mean, things like that. Big ticket items where you really can't put it on a credit card. Well, you can, but some people don't have the limits on their credit cards for some of these things.
Or don't want to deal with the absolutely outrageous interest rates. Now, folks, once again, we're talking with John Kelly. If you'd like to get a hold of him and his team at Kelly Financial Services, give us a call, 800-477-1135. You can ask your own questions for John and his team or set up a time to meet with them. Maybe go over your detail across the desk, face-to-face, really get down into your retirement plan and get it set up for success. That number again, folks, 800-477-1135. Again, that's 800-477-1135. Okay, so we're looking at having a couple of months of income put aside at least just to make sure that we're good to go with our emergency fund. Now, I mentioned earlier, and this is where my fund currently is, John, and that's in a savings account. Now, I know a lot of folks out there are going to think, gosh, but that's not earning me any sort of income. Now, is this where we want to have it? Are there other options?
Well, obviously, you know, banks are the most convenient place for most of Americans to have their money.
Yeah.
And again, if it's the true emergency fund, I mean, there's no better place. I mean, a lot of other things you have, like I said, you have it in brokerage accounts or things like that.
Yep.
They're not really as liquid and they take a little bit of time. You got to sell stuff off. You know, you got to wait 3 to 5 days.
Yeah.
So for me, looking at it, that's not a true emergency fund. Yeah. Having it sitting in a checking account where you have instant access to it, you can write a check for it. That's basically what we're talking about here.
Okay.
This money is not meant to make money, in my opinion, for an emergency fund, maybe a couple of percent. Obviously, banks are paying, but anything else where you're tying it up, well, then you're changing the definition. It's really not an emergency fund. It's a investment vehicle,
there
or it's a retirement account, or, you know, hey, this is my vacation fund.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Now, let me ask you, John, I know a lot of people are going to be wondering how they incorporate this into their own financial plan. Is this something that you go over with folks when you meet with them?
So, yeah, when we sit down with our clients, Tom, we sit down and do a plan with them. Okay, we identify what's each bucket of money for and what's the purpose for it.
Okay.
You know, some people have buckets of money that's going to be for their retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Some is going to be for their vacation accounts. Some is going to be maybe for, like I said, our emergency funds or grocery funds. So that's what we got to identify each bucket. What are they for? What's the purpose for it? And then that decides where we actually try to put it or position it and be the most efficient place for our clients to have that money at.
Right, right.
You know, whether it's, you know, a fixed product or if it's sitting in a CD at a bank, maybe a checking account, things like that, at least identifying what's the purpose for it and we know why it's there.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely makes sense.
When all of our listeners come in, especially our radio listeners, give us a call. We'll sit down and do a complete income plan for you. Put a plan in place for you and your family. Make sure that you're making the best decisions for where that money is going to be at. We'll also do a Social Security maximization report for you, where we'll show you how to maximize your Social Security benefits and get the most out of the switching strategies that are hopefully still available for some of us if we're grandfathered.
That's right.
And then we'll also, for all of our clients who come on board with over $500,000, Tom, we give them a free trust. We set it up with our estate planning attorney, gives them powers of attorney for finance, powers of attorney for healthcare. And then he comes in with at least $250,000. We put him in we get a will for him, again, with the powers of attorney for finance and the powers of attorney for medical.
Wow, that's incredible. So, folks, if you would like to take advantage of this great opportunity to meet with John Kelly and his team, get your financial situation in order, give us a call, 800-477-1135. Again, that's 800-477-1135. You know, we've just touched on emergency funds, really, in this segment. We have a lot more coming up, folks, so stay tuned. More Financial Safari on the way.
You're listening to the Financial Safari News Network.
We've all heard of the bucket plan. It's traditionally been used as a way to categorize money for a specific purpose, such as fixed expenses, discretionary spending, and legacy. For many years, advisors, agents, reps, planners, and the like have used the term bucket plan to essentially sell products. The idea was to show how their financial product is the best to accomplish the singular objective of each bucket. We are always looking to change things for the better, and our definition of the bucket plan couldn't be further from this dated sales pitch approach. to us, the new way one should approach the bucket plan is as a comprehensive process to gather, analyze, and advise on a client's specific and entire financial situation. With this all-inclusive approach, you can help maximize income distribution for each of the different phases leading up to and through retirement, while helping the client take control of taxes, fees, diversification, and risk. The bucket plan, as we've laid it out, is designed to eliminate the two biggest dangers in retirement: inflation and sequence risk. A product-based approach simply cannot do that. This form of planning is an educational, holistic client experience, providing value and wisdom at every phase of the planning process to help clients understand how to reduce taxes, protect their assets, and maximize income in retirement.